Welcome to Alphabet Scoop, episode 12. For those that are just now tuning in, this is a podcast from the team at 9 to 5 Google, where we cover everything that's happening in Google and Alphabet from A to Z. So thanks a lot for joining us. So let's get started. I'm Stephen Hall, host of this podcast, and this is my colleague, Admiral Lee. How are you doing, man?
Hey, awesome.
Another week.
Indeed. Number 12.
Awesome. Yeah, awesome. So let's today we've got a lot of topics to cover. So, but I guess perhaps the most interesting of them all this week is that we finally have some solid insight on what Google has planned for the Pixel 3 and I guess the 3 XL. So, yeah, I mean, what's the timeline here with this? I guess the first thing that happened was
screen protectors.
Yeah, the screen protectors from Weibo. Which they basically just showed, you know, supposedly at the time. I feel like for a couple of days at least, we weren't sure.
It was just screen protectors.
Yeah, and what was interesting too is that it was just a random Weibo account. Like, so we didn't have, you know, like very often these kind of links will leak. They'll surface from a Weibo account that has, you know, some kind of track record. Mm-hmm. But this one, there's absolutely nothing to go off of. And then, who was it that picked it up first? Oh, SlashLeaks. So someone saw it on Weibo and posted on SlashLeaks. And then it went, you know, wild. It went crazy from there. Mm-hmm. But you know, SlashLeaks sourced the Weibo account and, they had removed it. So I don't know what happened. Maybe it was a, you know,
they got caught.
Yeah, maybe they got caught, or maybe it was an accidental posting or something. But yeah, so that was interesting. Yeah, I think we've seen that happen before. I'm not sure. I can't recall at the moment, but I think we've seen it happen before, where you know the CEO of a Chinese company or something accidentally posted something to their public Weibo account.
Yeah.
I can't remember who that was or what it was, but you know, maybe this was one of those situations. But yeah, I mean, that was kind of the start of it all, and it showed two screen protectors and maybe three, which we could probably not three, but we can dive into that in a minute. But two screen protectors, obviously, labeled Pixel 3 and Pixel 3 XL, which I guess those are the two obvious names, right? It looks like we have a little bit of a trend going with the XL, and then, you know, the number scheme. We didn't know it was going to happen last year because it was the first.
Yeah, it was so new.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody called it the Pixel XL. Everybody was Pixel XL 2. Everybody
right.
was going that way.
Right. Somewhat yeah. Like. I think that was the common, everyone agreed that that was probably what it was going to be. It was Pixel XL 2 and Pixel 2. But
I always hated that. Always hated that.
So now it's clear, though. We've got the Pixel 3 and the Pixel 3 XL. I mean, well, it's not completely clear. I mean, Gurman. So, I besides the screen protectors, Gurman is the other source, other big source of information. Then there's WinFuture, and then the other part of this picture was everyone who was just speculating based on the screen protectors, you know, before the Bloomberg report. So there was tons of renders that, I mean, it was crazy. Like within 24 hours of those screen protectors coming out, there was like renders, and there were half a dozen Reddit posts of people speculating, like, how are they going to do the notch? Are they going to do it like Apple? Are they going to hide the notch? You know, the whole nine yards. But
to Google's credit, they had an admirable run at somebody not leaking these Pixel 3s, because it's June, it was end of May, June, and this is the first time it's leaked, and this leaked from a supplier and not like somebody within Google. So on their end, they did the Made by Google team the great job at like locking this down. So
yeah, I mean, it looks like
secrecy wise
yeah, totally. I mean, I think that's partly thanks to the fact that the development of the Pixels is becoming more and more in-house, you know. The first year I felt like it was pretty much just an HTC OEM job, you know, with the exception of a few little things that Google did. We could, you know, we talk about this every single show. Are we going to talk about the wedge or no?
No, you mentioned the wedge, so I think we're good.
Anyways. But yeah. So and then last year, you know, we all know that the LG did the 2XL and HTC did the smaller. Mm-hmm. And then this year, we don't. I mean, So since the two, we've heard that, you know, Google's pretty much going, well, they are doing the development even more in-house.
Yep.
And with the help of a very, very large number of HTC engineers.
2,000 HTC engineers, I believe. But yeah, if you think about it, it would have been surprising if for the third year in a row, Google outsourced somebody else, because we've been waiting to see what they're doing with this HTC acquisition. It's sizable and it's finally happening. So that's good. If it results in this secrecy, well, if you the ones who like the surprise.
Yeah, and the reason we know it's happening, and this kind of we can dive into the Bloomberg report. So the big story with the Bloomberg report, actually, I should give credit where credit is due. Wind Future had this about half an hour before Mark did at Bloomberg, was that Google is manufacturing these with Foxconn, which as listeners of this show, you know, those who are more in the loop on tech will be very well aware that that's the same Chinese company that Apple manufactures the iPhone with. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the proof that we have that this is not just going to be an LG or HTC, you know, contract job. This is going to be, you know, Google's going all in. And honestly, that's kind of scary to me. I mean, I think you have to think about, you know, there's a lot of expertise, manufacturing expertise that LG and HTC have, years and years and years of it.
Yeah.
And with Foxconn doing it, you know, it leaves more in the hands of Google to make sure they get right.
Yeah.
And as we know, Google's only barely dabbled in doing their own hardware before, you know?
Yeah. The way I think about it is, okay, so there was a lot of drama around the Pixel 2 XL, obviously, but that was due to a component from LG. That was an isolated component. Like, build quality was, if I remember correctly, fine on both of them. If
probably.
Been
yeah.
Major mistakes.
No.
So
the only thing I remember that sticks out to me in terms of just like manufacturing build that wasn't like a specific component, and maybe it was the original Pixel. Our Justin Duino posted right after the original Pixel launch that like the display glass was like separating or something. Do you remember that? And there was like all this, there was a manufacturing defect with the first Pixel, and Google wasn't exactly handling it very well. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it was something like the glass was like not hearing well. But anyways, you're right. It's been generally over the last 2 years, I think things have gone really well so far. And so this kind of feels like if Google's doing this, which they seem, I mean, we have Bloomberg and Wind Future saying that they're going with Foxconn. You know, this is probably not just a this year thing. This is they're gonna do Foxconn for their phones for the foreseeable future, probably.
Yeah.
Assuming this goes well, and so that's kind of where this kind of becomes a make or break moment. You know, because they've used other third party manufacturers.
Yes, they did for other hardware. For the Pixelbook, Quanta.
Right.
Pixelbook maybe. Pixel C, definitely. Yeah. I'm not quite sure about the Pixelbook, actually, so that's worth diving into.
And Quanta's been used by a few companies, like the Verizon Wear 24 was also Quanta.
Yes. Right. Yeah. I remember that miniscoop. But yeah, so if we're going by the Pixel C, that was brilliant hardware, so
yeah, they didn't have any problems.
And the Google Home, I think we don't give the Google Home designs enough credit. That is directly Google.
Oh yeah, true. That's very true. That's very true. Although a smartphone is notably more complex.
Oh, absolutely. Smaller is the harder it is to make.
One thing that just popped into my head though was Wind Future's report. So it seemed like Bloomberg, Mark Gurman, we all know Mark, our old pal Mark Gurman. He's probably got sources. You know, engineers, probably, I would guess, at Google engineer sources. Whereas it seemed like Wind Future's report was primarily based off some kind of manufacturing like supply chain documentation or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting to me, that just came to my mind, was that that documentation apparently said that Google was aiming for some kind of August or September timeline, which to me, I wouldn't take that to mean that they're going to not like do a September event rather than an October event or an August event. Either. Like, to me, I took that as this was a date that was on that documentation that might not actually represent
the announcement, the actual
right, exactly. And so if that document said September, an early October announcement, which is exactly what, you know, what we would expect, would make a lot of sense. But another thing that just popped into my mind was that document mentioned August or September, and maybe, I mean, this is far-fetched and I have no idea what I'm talking about, disclaimer, but maybe that's Google giving themselves a little bit of padding room to make sure that they get this right with Foxconn for the first time. You know, in terms of the crunch of...
If I'm thinking about a good month, yeah. When thinking about why they would move it up like a good month or 2 months, the whole Max launched in December, right? It was really cutting it close to this key holiday season.
Right.
So I guess the logic of bringing it up was like to give them better breathing room to launch everything else they announce. Because like so far, all indication we've seen from Google is that they like doing it at one event and then releasing it when it's ready afterwards.
Yeah. One thing that came to my mind though was like, you know, last year, the talk and the controversy with the Pixel 2 XL was that all the problems that it had were pretty much quality control problems. I mean, do you remember that image?
Yeah, yeah.
The image of the Pixel 2 that came out of the, like, it was just in a retail box. Someone bought it at the store or whatever, and there was a slip inside that said it, like, failed quality control or something.
it literally
made it to United States, like, in the retail store somewhere.
Yeah, no OS or something like that. There was no operating system installed.
Yeah, something like that. But so I feel like maybe, you know, this is pure speculation, but maybe that early date could be, you know, they're just trying to avoid the same kind of problem again. They want to make sure that they really nail the quality control this time.
Yeah,
because that would not look good for them to see 2 years in a row of some kind of whatever it is. I mean, there were enough quality control problems with the Pixel 2 XL. We could, you know, go down the bullet list of all the problems that people had. But there were enough problems that if we saw that repeat again, I think it would look really, really bad for Google. So I think, you know, even if the date doesn't mean that, I think it's something they're probably thinking about and something that they, you know, they want to avoid at all costs is having another quality control debacle.
Yep. Quality control debacle, there is one source that we saw a South Korean report say that an LG is again supplying the display for the Pixel 3 XL. So that, I hope something has changed. I really hope something has changed between now and last year in terms of like LG's quality to deliver.
Yeah, I think that problem came down to just the fact that LG is just not their panels just weren't up to the same level of quality as Samsung's. Like, I mean, yes, there were some good ones that eventually came, you know, but I think all the first batches like pretty much all had like, you know, black smear or some kind of issue. And so, you know, maybe, I mean, I think that LG definitely has the ability and the capacity and the resources to be as good as Samsung, you know, with given the amount of time. I don't know. Given time. And so if it's been a year, you know, I'm sure that Google is, if they signed another contract to supply displays with LG, I'm sure that they made sure that it was at least going to be better than last year. Maybe they're not going to be up to par with Samsung this year, but, you know.
Which the funny thing is, like, there's all those reports about like Samsung having extra OLED displays from the iPhone 10. So why didn't you just dip into that pool? That's like, that would be, imagine a Samsung level display on the next Pixel would be amazing. honestly.
It would be. And we had a Samsung display on the Pixel 2. So
great display.
Who knows? Maybe Samsung's doing the small display again.
Yeah. Ooh, that's enticing.
Someone but in the chat's criticizing me for using AirPods.
They're the best. I guess we can do a tiny bit. Pixel Buds, they've gotten so much better with the ability to change the double tap gesture from reading your notifications to next. Like, that's honestly makes it like it saves these headphones for me. And I've been using them way more now because of that one tiny feature.
Yeah, and that, speaking of the October event, we heard, I forgot who it was, but someone reported that Google's planning a second-gen Pixel Bud. So,
Evan.
Oh, Evan did. That's right. So yeah, that'll be interesting to see, and hopefully they're up to par with the AirPods. Maybe Google has some specialized hardware in store for those.
Yeah, be because nice. At the end of the day, this is like a Bluetooth problem. The reason you're wearing AirPods is because
everything's a Bluetooth problem.
Bluetooth 5, don't suck, please.
So yeah, back to the Pixel 3. For those who missed it, I guess we didn't mention this. The Pixel 3 is supposedly going to have a very similar design to the Pixel 2 XL. At least based on
the rounded corners.
So rounded corners, but obviously smaller size. You know, it looks like, honestly, the Pixel 3, based on these screen protectors, looks like the Pixel 2 I wanted last year.
Yeah, it's isn't it funny that the Pixel 2 looks old, but with the Pixel 3, the only thing that what they did to make it look modern is around the edges, and that's enough. It's kind of funny.
Well, it does look like
enough for me.
Bezels, then
that is true. That is true. So, and again, that's
part of it.
With these rumors, we have no idea what the rest of the phone looks like. Everything has been focused on this screen, and there's like a world of possibility with what the actual case design is going to look like. That's right. Like the biggest thing to look forward to in the coming weeks and months.
Right. Yeah. Finding out if it's a ceramic. My wish list is a ceramic back with glass on the top with wireless charging, and that's like in terms of the rest of the build. Like that's my hope, but you know, who knows? That's probably a stretch. Although the Essential phone was ceramic, and you know, ceramic's been merging, you know, little bits by bits across different manufacturers. So I'm hoping that maybe Google will do that. Although, you know, prices might be a factor there. And so, yeah. So the other thing is, so the smaller Pixel looks like the Pixel 2 XL miniature. It looks like what the Pixel 2 should have been in an ideal world. And the larger Pixel 3 XL is the dreaded notch and chin, like terrible, terrible design, in my opinion.
So, does it look to you V30 much? I've been trying to place what like modern phone it looks like.
I don't know. It looks like a Pixel 2 XL with a notch to me. But you could say that the notch plus chin thing, I mean, if you're trying to find another Android phone that looks like that, you don't have to look very far.
Nope.
Yeah.
I hope Google makes a case for the chin. Like, this is like, again, my thing is mostly like, as long as you've made, like, Google has made a proper case for it, I'll give it a try. But till then.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Gurman's report. So there were a couple little things in his report that I feel like didn't really get talked about or noticed very much. One of them was that he actually mentioned that the reason they're doing it is to stick with or to keep front-facing speakers. And supposedly, I don't know if I believe this, but supposedly that wouldn't be possible without the bottom chin. And I don't know. That's a trade-off. I personally don't. My take on it is I'm fine not having front firing speakers as long as the speakers are good. I mean, that's my only requirement is that it sounds good. I don't care where the sound comes from. What do you think about it?
I've already know that I'm going to the Pixel 3 always, but if I had to choose this Pixel 2 XL, this Pixel 3 XL, again, looking at it, it's the bottom is bothersome, but it is bothersome, the thicker thing. Our colleague Ben just suggested that it looks a lot like the Huawei P20 Pro from the render, from the images of the screenshots, and I think I agree that shouldn't you think the notch would be thinner? Like Bloomberg made a point of notice of pointing out how it's a taller, like it's a significant, it's a noticeably taller bezel compared to other devices. So again, I'm trying to see that rationale there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the rationale. I think in this case, the size of it is probably just because the fact they're trying to squeeze two camera sensors on there.
Mm-hmm. That's the other big point.
So that's something else we haven't talked about. So apparently, both of these phones will have dual front-facing cameras and single shooters on the back, which we don't really know what that means yet, because two front-facing cameras would not solve the problem. And so let's assume that the reason they're doing two front-facing cameras is because they want to do better face authentication. Mm-hmm. If we assume based on, you know, their AI or whatever, because that's how they do everything. Assuming that's the case, that still doesn't solve the big problem with facial recognition, which is dark or like...
So maybe it's an IR sensor. Like the
maybe, but I feel like didn't Mark specifically say that it's dual cameras? And so I don't know. I think it is dual cameras, and if it is, you can't unlock your phone at night with a dual camera system. It's not gonna be able to see you.
Two cameras, they're pretty like on opposite ends, so maybe there's like some kind of 3D facial mapping going on. Like I suggested in the past that Google would be able to do facial recognition purely based on like the one camera hardware and without needing extra hardware. So this is, again, this is like really interesting from that point that they can't do proper face, a secure face unlock without something extra.
They might be able to do a secure one. That might be plausible based on machine learning techniques, but I don't know if they can do, you know, like anything at night. I mean, I think what's cool about the iPhone 10 to me is that you can be in a completely pitch black room and it unlocks perfectly fine because it's infrared. Another interesting thing that someone mentioned was that a couple of recent HTC phones, so forgive me, I don't really follow Android manufacturers all that closely. I'm more obsessed with Google specifically, but apparently a couple of recent HTC phones had dual front-facing cameras.
Yes, of course. Like the U12 Plus, I think, full cameras. Yeah.
Right. And what was their, do we know what their use case was for that? Like, was it just for taking prettier selfies or what? Like,
I think so, because that's like their creativity suite is one thing they heavily rely on.
Right. So yeah, we've seen dual front-facing cameras before, so maybe we don't even... And it's also, I think, interesting to note that where we've seen them has primarily been HTC, and we know that HTC engineers are the ones primarily, or ex-HTC engineers, I should say, are working on the Pixel 3 and 3 XL. So, you know, it seems like there's maybe some connection there. On another note, something else that was a little tidbit that didn't really get reported on from Mark Gurman's report, was that apparently for the time being, Google has decided to # embrace the notch versus hiding it. So he said, I don't have it in front of me, but he said that Google as of right now has decided to go the same route as Apple and not hide the notch with software and just show it off. And that doesn't rule out that an option would be there, but
From Android P developer betas, what we've seen them do is not hide it, that not provide an option to hide it. So
right, yeah. So it makes sense. But
they're sticking their guns with it. So at least they're making a stand and not apologizing for hardware and
right.
aspect of the hardware with software.
Yeah. And for those of you who haven't seen it yet, I would highly recommend checking out these renders that this guy, I don't know his name, his real name, but he goes by Phone Designer on Twitter. He did these renders and they look really nice. Like even the XL, which I don't like the notch and chin thing, but I like these renders. They look really, really nice. So you should definitely go check those out. Another thing from the Bloomberg report is that apparently Google's doing Verizon only again this year.
Yeah, that contract. In terms of advertising, I guess it has served them well because you see those Verizon-backed ads everywhere. And I guess the reason is Google still thinks they needs it. They need it.
Yeah, I mean, someone made a parallel. You know, everyone jokes about how Android, you know, people who are on the Apple side of things joke about how Android copies everything Apple does, which I don't know. I don't think that's really true. I think it kind of goes both ways in a lot of ways. But someone mentioned the parallel between how Apple stuck with Singular / AT&T for a couple of years. I think it was
five generations.
Okay.
It was the 4S that came out on Verizon.
I'm proud of myself for not having my Apple history down perfectly. But yeah, so Apple did the same thing. Basically stuck with AT&T to, you know, help them promote it. And, you know, that exclusivity contract helped the iPhone come out into the world and eventually, you know, break out into the other carriers. So it seems like, you know.
We're already seeing that that the Pixel has gotten wide regard, and either in the US at least, you have a Pixel either from Verizon or you bought it unlocked. Do you, for the Pixel to gain, like, for the Pixel to go up to the next level of like taking on the iPhone or any Samsung phone, do you think it needs to be in carriers for the average person to notice it? Or can sheer advertising power, like online and in TV and print and whatnot, do you think that's enough to get people to know what the Pixel is and want the Pixel? Or like, are we still dependent on this carrier model, at least in the US?
Yeah, I think for now we are. I mean, I think this, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think the numbers show that we are still very much like something like 90%. Of smartphone buy purchases in the US are still made through carriers, which to me, as someone who's an enthusiast, quote unquote, and someone who hasn't bought a phone through a carrier in a long time, that blows my mind. And the fact that I really just generally try to stay away from paying monthly for anything. I would rather just, you know, save up and pay the big bill right up front than have a lasting or standing contract with a company where I'm owed them money over time. That's just a personal finance preference. But so, yeah, it just blows my mind that that's still a thing. But to answer your question about Google or the Google Pixel kind of breaking out into the world, I think it's smart that they're playing it conservatively and not just trying to partner with as many carriers or get as many carriers to stock it as possible. Because I feel like carriers can be finicky, and I feel like the success of the Pixel is not exactly guaranteed yet. We're almost 3 years in, you know, we're over almost 2 years in, I should say, right?
Yeah, almost
2016, almost 2 years. Yeah, so almost two years in, and you know, it's still not guaranteed that the Pixel is gonna, in the 5 to 10 year, you know, span, gonna succeed. And so I think it would be bad. If Google convinced AT&T to stock the Pixel and the Pixel just didn't sell, which Google sold how many units? 4 million units last year, 2017. They sold 4 million phones, whereas Apple sold over 200 million. Essential was under 100,000. So rip Essential. somewhere around there, 100,000. But yeah, I mean, those numbers show that the two behemoths still in the industry in terms of sales numbers are still very much Apple and Samsung. Mm. And so I think it's smart for Google to milk this Verizon exclusive as much as possible for maximum exposure for the Pixel. And meanwhile, they're selling the phone on store.google.com. So if anyone wants it, you can finance it for with no, you know, yeah. no interest at all through Google Store, and you can use it on whatever carrier you want, pretty much. So I think the strategy is sound. I think it's good. I do think though, in the next couple of years, we'll see them maybe branch out to it's one bad. More carrier yeah. or two more carriers. I don't think that by the time the Pixel is big, which fingers crossed it will be, or at least a big contender to Samsung and to Apple. I don't think that by the time that happens, we'll be past the carrier model in the United States, if we ever get past the carrier model. So, yeah, it's not exactly optimistic, but I think we're stuck with carriers for the time being.
There was some carrier news with Project Fi. If we're ready to close out our Pixel 3 discussion.
Yeah, just one more. We didn't mention that apparently they're both going to have the Snapdragon 845, which is a little detail given. That it's pretty much a given. It's not going to be an 846.
Yeah. What's in terms of chips, like the thing to look for is whatever custom silicon that Google does. They had the Pixel Visual Core on the Pixel 2 and they had some custom chipsets on the Google Clip. So like, if you're interested in that area, the big news is whatever Google decides to do to power its AI and machine learning on device.
Yeah. And I guess with all of this said, the only thing that's kind of, there's just a few little details to learn that we don't know yet to keep an eye out for the coming weeks. Just to round out this section on Pixel 3 is wireless charging, yay or nay. Headphone jack, yay or nay?
Yeah.
I'm leaning yes on wireless charging because it just seems obvious to me with the iPhone doing wireless charging and key and Qi in general kind of coming
winning the world.
Yeah, winning. And then I'm leaning no on picks on the headphone jack because
yeah,
obviously very unlikely that they would.
At the end of the day, removing the Pixel jack has like a pure hardware benefit. It saves space. Like that cannot be denied. And I'm sure like phone designers would rather take the space savings internally if they can get it.
Yeah.
So that's a bit sad.
And other than that, you know, we still don't know little details like battery capacity. You know, Google's focusing a lot on battery life for Android Wear. Is that going to be a thing with the Pixel 3? Are they going to talk about battery life, you know, optimizing that? That's maybe a stretch. I don't know. We'll see. And then there's, you know, display resolution. We aren't sure on that. You know, whether or not it'll have that unique Pixel look on the back. We don't know anything about what the back looks like.
It's a mystery.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. The only one other thought that I had that I feel like I had to mention because I didn't get a chance to talk about this was, is it weird to you that it seems like the smaller Pixel, so there's two different kinds of audience that Google's going for or that the Pixel has. The first is everyone. So like they want to reach the iPhone user with this. That's obvious just by the way they're approaching everything that they're doing. And then two is they have a huge amount of, I guess, grandfathered in Nexus users, I would say, who buy the Pixel for the same reasons they would have bought a Nexus, which is probably a pretty big number of people. I mean, it's basically all of our Android. Basically, that's what it probably boils down to, is just like all those people who want the stock Android or you know, Google Android, because they're just Nexus fanboys or they're just Google fans. One thing that like is sticking out to me about, you know, how like last year the Pixel 2 XL and the 2 were different like in terms of physical build, and I would have thought that was a compromise and that was something they wouldn't do again because it seemed like that was like a supply chain issue. That's what it seemed like to me. It seemed like it was like a components problem, and so they just went with the best option they had. But it strikes me that this year they did it again, even though I would assume that any possible component issues or supply chain issues would have been resolved by now. They did it again, and the Pixel 3 still looks... It's basically the conservative and the progressive model. And so now that they've done it again with the Pixel 3, it makes me question if maybe it's intentional that they're doing a conservative model for those who are like, no, I hate the notch. Although the conservative model, if this...
The conservative model also hates the bezels.
Right. Well, conservative model should also have a headphone jack. So, you know, maybe this isn't the perfect explanation for this, but it is interesting to me at the very least that they did not unify the designs this time around. And that it seems to me like you and the enthusiasts tend to gravitate toward the small, and the larger one is the one that they seem to try to push at the every person. I don't know. Maybe that's I'm wrong, true. But that's just what it seems like to me. And it's interesting that if they didn't.
If you want to take this a bit further, like the big one is the more expensive one, but as we've so far seen, that's where the most issues lie because of the LG panel. So if the one way to think about it is that that conservative model doesn't really make sense if you're assuming the more expensive one allows for more stuff, more premium displays. Like in theory, that LG display was supposed to be better than the one on the small Pixel 2.
Right, and it is if you get a good one.
If you get a good,
that's even debatable. But on the topic of price, I think price is honestly less of a determining factor for the every person in a way. Yeah. So like for the every person, they're paying 20 or 25 or 30 or 35 or 40, $40 a month in the case of the iPhone 10 or whatever, you know, but that is, I think when people walk into the Verizon store and they pick a phone, that 20 versus 25 versus $35 monthly fee is not significant to them. Whereas I feel like the techie is buying their phone unlocked and they want, you know, they just want that traditional, reliable, top end specs, you know, whatever, I feel like that's kind of the, like it's almost like the dev device. Like in a way, the Pixel 2 is kind of like the Nexus of the two. It's weird. I don't know. We don't have to talk about it anymore, but that's just
there. But I think there's something there.
Yeah, it might not be intentional. It may just be a coincidence, and I may be overthinking it because that's my job. So anyways, that's pretty much all we have on Pixel 3 and Pixel 3 XL. You should, if you know, let us know what you think of the rumors, of the specs, of the designs, and whether you want the Pixel 3 or Pixel 3 XL. Let us know in the comments or the chat, and we'll maybe chat about it a little bit more. Next up today, we want to talk a little bit about a couple of speaking of notches, it seems like that's all we talk about in 2018 is notches. But there's a couple new Android phones that launched this week. One of them was the Motorola One Power. Well, it didn't launch. Leaks/launches, Motorola One Power leaked this week with a big old notch, and it looks like an iPhone 10 copy, right?
Let's start with that name, Motorola One Space Power.
Yeah, it's.
I don't know whether it's good or bad, because like in the good side, it like lets them like continue the Motorola 2, Motorola 3 in the future. On the other side, it looks horrible. Like visually, that name looks horrible. In many ways, I can't capture. But okay, name aside, so we have Motorola One. It seems like the continuation of the Moto X. Don't you agree? Those rumors has them towards it.
I don't know.
Because they've stuck with the Moto Z, like. We're seeing a third generation Moto Z, and that is their flagship device. But 2-3, I don't think that's gotten that much traction in the markets. And now they're trying again with a completely new product line, if this rumor is correct. It completely abandons all their previous designs, It's like this fiery, curvy thing. And it literally weaves everything. Like, this is a new refresh, and that's why it's so disappointing that it looks like an iPhone.
Yeah, it looks a lot like an iPhone. It has a notch that's pretty much identical. That it's got a chin, but it's not a very big one.
Though, as Seth pointed out, our dear reader, they've somehow managed to include the word Motorola in it.
Yeah, they did. And that's interesting to me that they're ditching the Moto thing. I feel like that was kind of successful. You know,
yeah,
like
it was short, straightforward. Motorola is a bit old, and it's trying to, like, they can't possibly be playing on nostalgia, can they? Like, the people who remember, like, Motorola of old. Like, the Moto Razr is, like, what people remember.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand. To me, it's identical to what the entire, like, third-party Android OEM space looks like right now. It just seems like everyone is just throwing whatever they can at the wall to see what sticks. I mean, you see it with almost every manufacturer except Samsung. Like LG is just like, they tried the whole modular thing, and then they, with, you know,
they did. I just remember that. The G5s.
Yeah. And then, you know, now they're back to, with the G6 went back to a traditional, you know, metal and glass slab design, and that didn't sell well. And then the G7 is the same thing, but with a notch now, or with the notch and chin design. So it's like none of these phones are really selling that well. And so it just seems like they're just trying to catch any little thing they can that might sell their phone. And in 2018, that thing is a notch and a chin. And because that's just kind of it's starting to become a little bit of a status symbol. It's like, in a really stupid way, it's kind of like, that's how you can tell what's a new phone and what's an old phone. It's like there's a line in the sand now. And it's, if you don't have a notch, you are old. And I mean, that's just crazy to me. But I mean, like I said, it seems like every OEM is just like, it just blows my mind that all of these brands are just falling apart. How could you, like, Motorola is the biggest story of fall, like, it's the biggest fall from grace of any of the OEMs, I think. It's crazy. Because they were the, well, at least for me, they were the brand that I just loved so much. And the Moto X is dead, which was the phone that was just, it could have, I don't know. I don't understand. It could have been saved. And then, yeah, now this is just like, what are they doing? Like, is this just like the last ditch attempt to try and, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. They're just copying the iPhone.
They're desperately trying to pivot to something new.
Yeah.
And I don't think something new thing isn't really new.
Yeah. And I don't think it's really going to work out. I mean, AP David pointed out today that HTC had like 17 SKUs in 2015 and like, or 2016 and like six last year and four so far this year. And so it's like HTC, that's another example. Like they're just like free falling basically.
Yeah. The Android ecosystem isn't doing great. And Okay, they're not doing great, but the question is whether at the end of the day this harms Google. Like,
yeah.
Is there going to be like an is Google going to, like, are they going to have to do something if, like, the lack of good phones, the lack of people buying Android phones hurts their bottom line, and like they start seeing sales go to the iPhone? Because like we haven't seen that happen yet. But like the way this field, what's happening in this field right now, this is like a lot of HTC is dead in the water. Like several of our esteemed colleagues pointed it out today, had that discussion. Motorola is succeeding in the low end there, They haven't proven that they can do something at the high end. LG is just firing everything, and by everything, that includes going to Project Fi and offering them a phone, which is interesting. Essentials failing, literally. OnePlus, bright spot, a cheap bright spot, it's affordable niche audience that's active enough and can keep that brand alive. And
then yeah, and then there's the Chinese OEMs, and we could talk about Xiaomi.
That's trying Xiaomi's, to get into the US.
Xiaomi's Mi 8 was announced this week, and it is the most, bar none, blatant. the most blatant copy of the iPhone that has ever been released on the Android side, ever.
Even the wallpaper. Why?
So the wallpaper is identical. The ad, so the marketing material for Mi 10 is almost identical to the original iPhone 10 ad, to the point that the beats per minute of the song and the general, like, it's almost identical.
Yes. And,
like, the song in the marketing material is, like, almost identical. I can't bring it up on the screen at this moment, but the iPhone 10 ad had, like, you know, words across the middle of the screen, and it was kind of like this gradient that was like pink to blue or whatever. The MIUI 10 ad has the exact same thing, just with Chinese characters. The quick settings in on the Mi 8 are the exact same sliders. They look exactly like Control Center.
That's fantastic.
The notch is almost exactly the same. The back camera, the dual camera with the flash in between, is exactly the same. Glass front, glass back. The only difference in the hardware build is that Xiaomi is taking the cheap route, and they're not doing they are doing the chin, so they're not wrapping the display like Apple did. So, like, it's insane, and I don't understand. I mean, obviously, I mean, Android OEMs have gotten away with less blatant copies over the years, but this one is just like, it's not even like it is absolutely intentional, and they have absolutely no shame about it. They're not hiding it at all. It is like, it's like they're almost marketing it as, this is an iPhone X copy, and that is, or iPhone 10, whatever you want to call it. It's an iPhone 10 copy, and that is its selling point.
So I think one thing I saw somewhere on Twitter or Reddit, with going back to this Moto phone, there is like a subset of people that want an iPhone 10 that runs Android. Like, is like big enough for these companies to put engineering development around actually doing that versus doing something new? Apparently.
Yeah, I mean, I want an iPhone 10 that runs Android, but when I say that, I don't mean I want a direct copy.
Yeah, you want what's good about it. You want like the effort, the quality, the original ideas.
Right. And I really appreciate the fact that they went all the way with the display, and they didn't cheap out with the chin situation. The display component is great. I mean, it's top tier. It's better than the Pixel 2 XL display by leaps and bounds. The notch is bigger, but it's bigger because they have, you know, it does infrared, and it has, you know, all those sensors all jammed in there. So there's not really any room for them to make the notch smaller, because it's jam packed with sensors. And so I appreciate that, like, the thoughtfulness. Yeah, like, that's it. Like, the thoughtfulness of the design is something I want to see on Android, and I was hoping we might see it with the Pixel 2 or the Pixel 3. I mean, and it doesn't look like we will, unfortunately.
This might be a discussion for another day, but do you think there's a problem with Android OEMs right now? Like, what would you tell them to do? If you were in charge of one, how would you tell them to differentiate? How would you tell them to compete with Samsung, Google, and Apple? How?
Yeah, I feel like that might be a conversation for a different day, because I've got way too many thoughts on that. But generally speaking, Apple's in a unique position. You know, they have an insane percentage of the market and like a foothold with Mindspace even. So like they have a Mindspace foothold that only Samsung's the only other company that has this Mindspace foothold. And they have mountains and mountains and mountains of cash. And they're almost their entire business at the moment is, well, that's probably an exaggeration, but a big chunk of their business is the iPhone, and the iPhone's extremely successful. So they have room to really, really invest and not, you know, not cut corners. And like one of those corners being, it's expensive to do this wrapped around bottom or this display situation. But it's a gamble that they can take, and they can sell the phone at $1,000 because they have a market that will pay for it. And I don't think that any other phone company besides Samsung at the moment could sell a $1,000 phone and do well. So yeah, I don't know. Like it's probably a conversation for another day, but yeah. So what else do we have for today? We have, I guess last week we didn't really get a chance to talk about YouTube Music because our show went over. So we can maybe spend the last 10 minutes chatting about YouTube Music.
Yes.
What's the story there?
I have been deep. I'm using YouTube Music for everything. I've pulled Play Music off my home screen. I've canceled my Spotify subscription, which I've signed up for 2 weeks ago before YouTube Music launched. And so far, I'm fine. I have been a big fan of the old YouTube Music. And the new YouTube Music is just the same look, the same design, but with new features. And while some might critique that, I think like some of these features that are in YouTube Music are quite thoughtful, to repeat another concept we've been talking about. So the search is really good, in my opinion. It's YouTube calls it Smart Search, and it's this thing that takes advantage of how Assistant and Google Home can search by lyrics, or how it can search by the type of song or the song description. That saves a lot of time in my workflow, because usually if I know a lyric, I would just like Google search it first and then like take the result and add it, bring it into YouTube. So that's like a great space saver. Anyways, the other big focus of what Google is doing with YouTube Music is like, there's two things. There's one is like heavy curation in a way that's kind of surprising to me, because they have so many playlists. YouTube is pushing like, there's the personal mixtape, which is the other thing, the algorithm. But there's also these curated playlists. There's like chill indie beats, or like coffee shop blend, or sunset soundtracks. There's like these thousands of playlists that they've like presumably hand curated. Maybe there's definitely some algorithm involved, but like in a way that I didn't expect a music service from Google to, they're putting a lot of curation on this, which is, so far, I compared to something like Spotify Connect, which you use Spotify, I believe. I don't think it's good enough. Like, it shows me similar things, but honestly, I thought it would be a bit more tailored. However, on that note, like with this the other big thing, the big endless personalized list music is called Your Mixtape, and it takes into consideration your history, your past listening history, your location to surface songs. And I've had 2 weeks to use it, slightly over a week to use it. And so far I'm not there yet. I would still prefer Spotify's music capabilities. Have you had a chance to use it yet?
I haven't at all, but I will note, you know, you mentioned, you're surprised by the level of curation. That's interesting to me, because I feel like I've always felt like Google Play Music has been, until maybe the last couple of years where Spotify took the lead, I feel like they were one of the top like or one of the better places to get curation. And that's also backed by, so like 4 years ago,
Songza.
Yeah, Songza. So 4 years ago, they acquired Songza, and that you could tell like a month or two after that happened that they added some like really great curation stuff to Play Music. And so I feel like the curation thing on that side of things has been something Google's like cared about and worked on for a long time.
Maybe it's a mentality thing for me.
Yeah.
Because like YouTube is a wild west of like algorithm.
Right. Exactly. So it's interesting to see that they're kind of bringing that expertise from Play Music over to Play Music or to YouTube Music. I will ask though, like you say that you, so like, I feel like just like last week you were saying that you were all in on Spotify or a couple weeks ago, yeah. because of being Spotify, able to, So how does that compare? Like obviously there's YouTube Music that has nothing,
nothing like that. Yeah. Just baffling for a cloud company like Google to not have those vast platform. I know why they don't have it. It's because Google Cast. They don't want to re-architect the new system because Google Cast mostly works for people. So I do miss that feature from Spotify Connect, but at the end, YouTube is fine. I guess the new YouTube Music is fine. It's like the point I want to get away with. Like, people will appreciate no ads, especially for like music. When you're really listening to songs, you don't want an ad to come up and like break your vibe. So I think that that's like a key thing that's underrated for like our audience, because like they've immediately jumped when YouTube Red was available and there are no ads. Like the majority of people, which is what Google is trying to do in making a mass market music streaming service, is to like convince people that it's worth paying to not hear ads when you're doing something as personal as music.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to see how it evolves and how, you know, Google said already that they're basically planning to port almost every feature that Play Music has over to YouTube Music. So I feel like we'll probably be talking about this again on a future show as this kind of becomes more of a Play Music replacement. And I'll definitely check it out and maybe I'll have more thoughts on it later, but appreciate you sharing your initial insights. Next up, so let's see, what else do we have to talk about today? I thought we were going to talk about, oh yeah. So, this, Waymo thing. So we're Alphabet Scoop. We got to talk about at least one Alphabet story, right? Apparently Waymo is, ordering or like planning to order 62,000, more Chrysler Pacifica minivans. Yeah, yep. Chrysler Pacificas. And that's huge. I don't remember where I saw it, but I saw someone say that 62,000 vehicles could theoretically put Waymo in three markets.
Yeah, I saw as well. Bloomberg, I believe. But okay, yeah, Bloomberg, like, yeah, to be a significant presence in three large markets in comparison to Lyft and Uber.
Yeah, I was really hoping that we were going to get a chance to ride in a self-driving car at I.O., but that didn't happen. We still haven't gotten our rides. If anyone from Google is listening to this, we need our rides. Everyone in the press has gotten our rides, and we haven't yet. So we really
but the other
interesting thing, part of that report was that Waymo and Chrysler are actually considering selling these things to the general public, right?
Yeah, yep. It's we've never heard about this business model yet. So far, like when Waymo has talked about monetizing, like this early read in this 10-year read in self-driving cars, it's been as a ride-sharing service, and two, as like for trucks delivering goods, like heavy-duty trucks. So, but this new one that just came out this week was the idea that they would license their self-driving tech out to like Fiat Chrysler, and then in turn Chrysler would sell like Waymo powered cars in showrooms. That is a crazy new model.
Yeah, that's insane to think about. Basically, the model is like Waymo would be licensing the self-driving technology to Chrysler, and Chrysler would sell these as self-driving cars for whoever wants to own one. And that's interesting to me because, you know, one, that opens up self-driving to be used in an unlimited number of use cases, whereas as of today, it's pretty, I mean, we've got Tesla and they're not as autonomous. They're not anywhere close to as autonomous as Waymo's cars are. But in terms of general public use, I mean, you could imagine having a self-driving minivan that you might be able to, you know, use as a family, which is, that's just crazy to me. And the other thing is like, what are the implications of that? You know, like, that's crazy. It's like, if the car gets in a wreck, whose fault is it? If I own the car and it's licensed technology from Waymo and Chrysler sold me the car, is it my fault that I got in a wreck? Is it Waymo's fault that I got in a wreck, or is it Chrysler's fault? You know, so it gets messy, and it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. But
the other thing I've seen from like selling cars, like, because the one big dream of self-driving cars is that nobody owns a car. It becomes a shared resource and system.
Right. That's how I've interpreted it too. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody, yeah. Like, that's been like the big thing. But now we're seeing this idea that you can buy a self-driving car. I wonder if like this is like a big US thing, because like Americans still, more than other countries, still have that love of like owning a car, of like driving when they feel suited to. And that might be to appeal, like, if that market is there, you might as well like offer a car. Like,
yeah. Another aspect, this is unique slightly unique story that I can tell, is that my wife's aunt is almost legally blind. So there's also this, special needs, I guess, market for self-driving vehicles to be sold. So she's not a techie person, and she's not aware of anything that's going on she's not that aware, but there is one thing she's very aware of, and she's aware of these self-driving cars that Google's going to be selling, apparently. You know, like, so she's aware of it on that level, you know? And so she's thinking of like, I can't wait to own my own self-driving car. And so, I don't know, like, sometimes I feel like owning cars is dumb and doesn't make sense. And it's like, that totally ruins the whole idea. But then there's use cases where people like actually might want to own one of these because they just want to get around and they can't drive for themselves.
And like a ride sharing service is too inconvenient.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to call a ride sharing service every time you want to go to the store to buy milk, you know?
Yeah. That's a very interesting standpoint. Like, I wonder what the premium on these cars are going to be.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea, but it's a conversation for another day. Just to wrap things up, just today, Google App 8.6 came out, and you and Dylan did an APK insight, and there's a lot of little minor things. But just one thing I wanted to touch on before we close out the podcast is that Google App Podcasts, which is what I've been calling it for weeks now, which is basically the podcast infrastructure that Google's been laying in the Google App, which has been pretty functional for a month or two now. Yep. Just today, is it now officially branded as Google Podcasts. So there's now Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. We don't have to call it podcasts in the Google app or whatever you're calling it. So
that helps a great deal.
I just wanted to mention that it's official that Google Podcasts is a thing. And it's basically, it seems like Google's plan to, you know, kind of merge or move podcasts out of Play Music and into its own thing. It would be nice, however, if we saw a standalone app for this instead of it being part of the Google app. Google Podcasts is a thing. We've got a lot coming in the coming weeks. One theory
about Google Podcasts. Sorry.
Oh yeah? Sorry.
When
you're fine.
To YouTube, wouldn't it make, like, we've talked about like Google Play going away. But wouldn't it make more sense for podcasts in YouTube? Like, podcasts are pretty synonymous, but YouTube are way more synonymous.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's plausible. I mean, we're on YouTube right now. People are live streaming our podcast right now on YouTube. So I don't think there's any reason to think that that won't be a thing. But maybe there will be some kind of Google Podcasts integration in YouTube. That might be the route they take, but who knows? That's a good thought, for sure. I think rounding out, you know, this episode, we basically covered Pixel 3. I think that's pretty much the story that you're gonna hear us talk about pretty much every week for the next few months until Google's event.
Pixel 3 season.
It is. Pixel 3 season has officially kicked off. We assume that phone or that line of phones will be announced at Google's October hardware event alongside other hardware that we mentioned in this episode, like second generation Pixel Buds, potentially a new Pixel Book. Who knows? We don't really know that much about Google's hardware plans outside of the Pixel 3. So that's probably what you should look for in the coming months, is we're going to talk more about the Pixel 3 and Pixel 3 XL as more details come out, probably from us and elsewhere. And we'll be talking about other hardware that Google has planned for its October event. So thanks for tuning in. Until then, you can tune in to Alphabet Scoop every week. We record this podcast every Friday live here on YouTube, and we publish every Saturday morning on your favorite podcasting platforms. So you can find us on those tomorrow morning on iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Google Podcasts, Google Play Music, which is still a thing for now. And you can even listen directly over at 9to5google.com if that's the way you would like to go about it. Thanks for tuning in, as always. And thanks again, Abner, for joining us for this episode of Alphabet Scoop.
Cheers.